1 Corinthians 9, five verses and, 5 points. 1 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 23. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So, I like it very early in the week when I get the seed for my message, because that allows it to percolate all during the week and God to breathe upon it. So earlier in the week, I really wasn't feeling that great, to be honest. But in spite of that, I heard the words, stay the course, and followed by a short vision. And the only way I can describe it is, you know what hairpin turns are? When you're on a road and it goes just like this, it's just constantly wiggling and curving back and forth, and it requires something of you if you're not going to go off the road, right? You have to pay attention, you have to slow down, and sometimes you have to wait in order to remain safe and stay on the course. That expression or that idiom, stay the course, means continuing doing something until it is finished. That applies to each and every one of us. I can't, even if I'm discouraged, I can't quit. I can't say, you know, I've had it with all of you. I'm going on an extended vacation and I'm not coming back. Because I can't quit until I've completed the reason that God has sent me here. And it doesn't matter whatever happens, whatever criticism, whatever turmoil comes my way. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He enables me to stay the course. Continuing to do something until it's finished. To continue with a process or effort, even though it is difficult. In the context of war, and I like to think in context of spiritual war or battle, to pursue a goal regardless of the obstacles or criticism. Another word, synonym, would be to endure, to persevere, to press on or through, to be determined, keep going, or to see it through. You get the idea of what staying the course requires. And honestly, you can't do it on your own. Without Jesus, you can't. But with Jesus, you can do all things. I needed this word of encouragement this week. from the Holy Spirit to stay the course. And I am pretty sure that the ones I'm speaking to need that word also. We all need that word of encouragement and to know that God is with us. No matter what things look like sometimes, you're not alone. And He won't fail you or forsake you. So I obviously have entitled the message, Stay the Course, but the alternate title would be Run Your Own Race. Run your own race. Five things, five verses. First, from verse 23, run for Jesus. If you're going to stay on the course, you have to have a purpose. You have to have a reason for doing what you're doing. And since 1978, I've had a reason. And I continue to have a reason to do what I do, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 23, do all things for the sake of the gospel. And I would paraphrase that as always have the message of Christ ready to be shared by word and example in your life, how you live your life, how you treat people, what you say, what you do. Very important. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me and for all of you. Running for Jesus involves giving your life and his life in you for others, having a servant's heart. Matthew 20:28, Jesus speaking. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He paid a ransom for you and for me. Without that ransom, I don't want to even think where I would be today, what my life would look like. Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me or follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's how you stay on the course. Following him. He won't lead you astray. So we need to live for Jesus and practice what Jesus quotes in Deuteronomy 6:5, quotes it in Matthew, Mark 10:30-31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. I don't know about you, but I still need help loving my neighbor. I need the compassion of the Lord more times than not. Even after all these years of walking with Jesus, running my race, running for him. You know, I have bad days. I'm stubborn. I'm willful. I know you don't have these issues. Running for Jesus involves being Christ-centered. Not self-centered, not selfish, but submitting to the Holy Spirit, always checking in with with Holy Spirit before you do or say something to someone. Secondly, to run with purpose and vision. Verse 24. Run in such a way that you may win, Paul says. Writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the course. I have kept the faith, and in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, not only for me, but also for all those who loved his appearing. His second coming, it's talking about. Philippians 2:16, holding fast or holding forth the word of life so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. And I would paraphrase that as keeping your purpose before you. What is it? You can do many things, but what is it that God has called you to do and called you to be? You need to keep that front and center. And he ran for Jesus, ran for Jesus, ran with Jesus, and ran to Jesus. That's having clear vision and purpose. Always keeping Jesus as the center of your life. Philippians 3:12-14 talks about pressing on, reaching forward to what lies ahead. Not that I've already obtained it or already have become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus, his purpose for you there. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You will stay on course. You will stay on track when you keep that purpose and vision. And I want to stop just for a moment and pray for fresh vision for this house. Pray for fresh vision for your life, because we all need that. Every single one of us need fresh vision, renewed vision. That's what the new wineskin is all about in the Gospels. And without it, you bog down, you slow down, you delay, you get distracted, you get off the course. But with vision, Jesus is always there as the center. And you're always being given new life and fresh vision. Stay the course. Run your own race. Don't worry about somebody else's race. You know, as a pastor, it's a temptation. And one of the reasons, unless God tells me to, I don't go to all these conferences and stuff, because surer than anything, when you meet other pastors, they say, oh, how many people are in your church? How big is your church? As if that is a measure of success. And there's a degree of which it is, but that's not the true measure of success. The true measure of success is lives that are changed, lives that are dedicated to running with Jesus and have purpose and vision. Number 3, from verse 25. To stay on course, run with self-control. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Paul hints at this in 2 Timothy 2, 4 and 5. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And I would say, you don't make up your own rules. He makes up the rules. And if you think you are not in active service, you are mistaken. None of you are in the reserves waiting to be called up to work in the kingdom of God. You are placed in active service. And so if you're not doing something, you're not giving evidence of the work of God in your life, you better take a healthy self-examination, because we are called into active service of the King. That never changes. Is that a hard word? Is that too hard? That's truth. You can't say, oh, I need a vacation, Lord. Give me a break. Why are you asking me to do this? I don't want to talk to that person. You are God's instrument. You are God's ambassadors. And that's how the kingdom of God advances. One life at a time. One life touched at a time. So the imagery here in these verses, 2 Timothy chapter 2, is competing in our version of the Olympic Games, what we know today as the Olympic Games. And to those that are in the competition running a race, there's a couple of things the Lord was highlighting for me and for you. They don't get declared the winner unless they reach and cross the finish line. It might sound obvious, but that is a very important aspect. You have to stay on the course, run the course that Jesus has set out before you, and you have to finish it. You don't stop short of finishing something that he tells you to do or say. And then the second thing that's required if they're going to be declared the winner is they have to stay in their assigned lane. You know those white lines? Each runner has their own lane. You can't say, oh, I'm going to run in lane 3 when your lane is lane 1. When you cross out, when you violate the boundary, you are disqualified in the race. So, self-control is setting and maintaining boundaries for yourself and running your own race, not somebody else's race. Setting boundaries for yourself. What you can do and what you cannot do. And the scripture talks about this. Don't worry about what your brother's doing. Worry about what he says you can do. That's what you're going to have to be accountable for. Titus 1:8. lists the qualification of an overseer or an elder, and it's the same word for self-control, self-reliant or discipline, which is really, it's an internal choice that we make, evidence in our external behavior. When you've already settled it with yourself and with the Lord, it manifests in your choice. But it starts internally, disciplining yourself, restraining yourself, not saying what you feel like saying to someone would be a good example of that. Trying to justify yourself to someone else. Making righteous choices and decisions. So we need to remember who we represent and speak and act to honor him. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are his ambassadors or representatives. Wherever we go, we're representing Christ. Stay the course. Run your race. Don't worry about somebody else's race. What the Lord allows someone else to do. Just be concerned with being obedient to what he allows you to do. Number four, run with focus and faith. Verse 26. I run in such a way as not without aim. It says there. Or uncertainty. The same root word there for without aim is used in 1 Corinthians 14:8. For if a bugle or a trumpet produces an indistinct, that's the word, indistinct, translated without aim or uncertainty in verse 26 here in our text of 1 Corinthians 9. If a trumpet produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for the battle? There's a certain note, there's a certain cadence to a call to arms with the trumpet. And every soldier knows what that is. And so if it's not recognizable, they're not going to arise and respond appropriately. That's what it's saying there. So the sound needs to be clear, distinct, and recognizable. And the same for running the race for Jesus. You must be sincere, genuine, and different from the world. The Bible, I think, in the King James, calls it a peculiar people. That's not a bad thing. Doesn't mean you're weird. You know, some would say that's what that means. It's not really not that what it's saying. It's saying different, distinct, set apart for the Lord. The definition of that word would be intentional. The purposive direction of effort, whereas aimless versus would mean lacking aim or purpose. So we have to be intentional in what we do. We have to be aware of what we do and what we say, because we're representing Christ wherever we go. Like it or not, that's the truth. First Timothy 6:12, Paul says, I fought the good fight. Challenges Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, this is serious business. It's not, you know, I have my ticket, I'm going to heaven, I'm all set. It's a lot more than that. We're going to be held accountable at the judgment day, just like those who don't respond to Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, running with endurance, fixing our eyes, focusing on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses or examples surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is his position, because he finished his course. Jesus stayed the course. He ran his own race, just like he requires of each one of us. So we need to, as 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, walk by faith and not by sight. And then God will supply all the guidance, direction, and faith that you need. You know, faith doesn't come when you're sitting and doing nothing. Faith comes when you step out, when you begin to move, when you begin to respond to the Holy Spirit. I believe that's the way it works. Faith is released when you need it, not when you don't need it. And number 5 from verse 27, run with discipline. You don't become a champion without discipline. From verse 27, I buffet my body and make it my slave. I force myself to do what I know is right, not what I feel like doing, or not what's convenient for me to do, but what the righteous thing is to do. Run with discipline. Subject yourself to exercise discipline. Romans 8, 13 and 14, being spirit-led. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not the ones who say they are, but the ones who demonstrate that they are sons of God, Spirit-led. Hebrews 12:8 talks about, without discipline, you're an illegitimate son. If you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. That is a very sobering verse. You know, put your money where your mouth is. Don't call yourself something that you're not, demonstrating by a lifestyle and by making the right or righteous choices. Hebrews 12:11 talks about discipline yielding fruit of righteousness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful because it cost you something. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It yields good fruit. So we need to lead a disciplined life and submit all things to the scrutiny of Holy Spirit. Stay the course. Do you know you can do that? That you can stay the course? Stay the course. Run for Jesus. Run with purpose, self-control, faith, discipline, and all these things we're discussing this morning. And he will give you whatever you need to succeed. He does the work. Ultimately, you just enter into it and then give him the glory. But you have to believe that you can succeed. Philippians 1:6. Are you confident? Can you speak this verse to yourself when you feel like a nothing? When you feel like you blew it, can't do anything good for the Lord? Can you say, I am confident of this very thing, that he, the Lord, who began a good work in me, little old me, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. My friends, stay the course. The Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, stay the course. Stay on track. Don't get distracted. Don't get off course. You can be doing good things, but not God things. Not what God's asking of you. You're not. A good thing doesn't allow you to access the grace that you need because God's not breathing on it. He's not asking you to do it. Whatever he asks you to do, he gives you the power and the grace to accomplish it. Amen. That's what I have for you today. Hope I was able to present it clearly. And of course, as always, if you have specific needs,